This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adore Udoji.
It was 1 year ago today that the I-35W bridge collapsed suddenly during rush hour in Minneapolis. I remember it because I had tickets to a Police concert at Madison Square Garden. I was waiting at a bar for my wife to show up so we could go to the concert when the news reports flashed on the TV.
We're following a very serious story right now. Just a few moments ago, we found out there was a bridge collapse in Minneapolis.
I remember grabbing for my cell phone because my sister lives in the Twin Cities, and she takes that bridge from home to work every single day. I tried to call, but the lines were all busy.
We do not want to encourage people to go down there and call their friends and tell them what they see on the cell phones because they need those cell lines open. They need communication to be open for people.
The unfolding details were grisly and sad. This eyewitness was actually driving on the bridge when it collapsed.
Well, it was bumper to bumper traffic. We're probably going 10 miles an hour. There was a lot of cars on that bridge. And I was on the side looking forward. I was on the shore looking forward to the rest of the bridge, and I saw all the rest of the cars fall as I was falling, and then the dust it was just unbelievable. It started shaking in complete free fall, and I'm lucky to be alive.
Fortunately, my sister was just fine, and mine was one of the many hundreds of thousands of sighs of relief that day. But 13 people were not so lucky, and it took weeks, 20 days specifically, to recover all the bodies trapped underneath the rubble of that bridge in the murky Mississippi River.
The safety board is concerned that, for at least this bridge, there was a breakdown in the design review procedures that allowed a serious design error to be incorporated into the construction of the I-35W bridge.
That's Mark Rosenger of the National Transportation Safety Board. The design flaw was large pieces of support steel called gusset plates. They were undersized and inadequate to handle the large load of the bridge. The rest of the nation suddenly took a look at their own bridges and highways in their own communities. Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth had these words for the Democrats' weekly radio address last April.
Across America, our roads and bridges are crumbling and are in desperate need of repair. Yet taxpayer dollars are being squandered on an Iraqi government that is riddled with waste, fraud, and corruption.
In Minneapolis, the rebuilding began. The Minnesota Department of Transportation fast-tracked a new bridge in hopes of getting the project done on Christmas Eve of this year. They might make it. A compensation package for victims was announced in May. Survivor Kimberly Brown was one of the beneficiaries.
For everything that the families have been going through and everybody who was injured, whose lives have been completely changed, I'm just very hopeful for them that they can move on from this now.
But for the rest of the nation, the bridge tragedy soon faded in importance and visibility. An Associated Press review of each state's most frequented bridges shows that only 12% have deficiencies that have ever been fixed. Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback has these words for other communities in an interview with WCCO-TV.
I'm really pretty stunned how quickly people stop asking the big questions about why this happened and how easily people think about this being something that, you know, just happened.
Bridges across the country aren't in danger of collapsing, but one in four need upgrading, and it could take $140 billion to fix them. A year later, residents of Minneapolis will be honoring those affected by the collapse with a moment of silence. And in a creepy twist that I just realized as we were doing this story yesterday, I actually have tickets to a Police concert tonight in Saratoga in upstate New York. We here at The Takeaway would like to pay our respects to those affected by the Minneapolis tragedy, and we hope you have a safe drive to wherever you're headed this morning.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.